American media is a business, and it has a mission. Not to inform Americans, but to entertain them.
You know, there's happy news for happy people with happy problems.
And the business leaders said that they had to renew with vigor what they called the everlasting battle for the minds of men and indoctrinate citizens with a capitalist story.
Global corporations feeding us the news as they see fit.
Truth is subversive. It's anti-American.
Americans have computers in school, dozens of TV stations, and the most aggressive news media on Earth. Does that mean they're better informed? Hardly.
And now, for Newsreel, here's Sean Kennedy.
And a good day. This is Sean Kennedy reporting to you from the Internet for Tuesday, March 11th, 2005. This would be Newsreel, your source for independent media and news that will give you the edge against the core political tyranny that is trying to enslave you. And if you don't happen to believe that core political tyranny is trying to enslave not only you, but your mind, body, and spirit, buddy, you've got to wake up. They're medicating us to death out there, and they're slowly taking away our rights one at a time. And it's time for us to stop that action. You can read all the news stories along with me by going to my live journal. My live journal you can find by going to livejournal.com, Sean_Kennedy, and you'll be able to hook up with me. You know it'll be time to turn the page when you hear me say, my throat is still trashed, and I sound like a wrestler. Oh, yeah. Got the macho news. Anyway, so I'll try to get through this as best I can. If my throat dies, I'll just play a longer spoken word piece at the end. Getting right into it here, and we got some feedback. Hey, Sean, I caught Thursday's show about the Star in the Jar episode. Oh, well, that's good. There are some problems with the Rushy, with Rusi Takiharan's claims. The equipment he used uses neutrons with the experiments. The neutron detector he used could be picking up these neutrons scattered and not the neutrons produced by the fusion reaction. The easiest way to check this out is to use a detector that can pick up the neutrons the exact time of the luminescence reaction. The release should produce a larger amount of neutrons at the exact same time as the luminescence. His detector was not capable of distinguishing this level of time accuracy, and he was also given a chance to take part in his experiment to verify his claim. He declined to do so, quoting that he had problems with the members of the team who would join his experiment. The experiment did take place without his input and showed that it was not the neutron released during the luminescence, and therefore no fusion was achieved. Well, so does that mean that he suspected something was wrong, or does that mean that he knew that the team would be trying to discredit him? I don't know. Luminescence took place a number of times, but not once did a better and more accurate detector tell the tale of neutron release signature above the background neutron level. The experiment was televised and shown on the BBC. Mr. Takiharan, in his defense, said he was confident in his findings and did not see any point in redoing his experiment. He also claimed that as a new experiment, he did not use the same equipment and settings he used. This is why his experiment did not show the fusion reaction. The new experiment used one team to produce the experiment and one to check the findings. All the best, Druid Y. Simru. Simru? Druid Y. Simru. Now, that's got to make you wonder, because is that mean then that this guy's experiments are crap, or does that mean that this guy knew that someone was trying to discredit him, or what? But I guess if he thought someone was trying to discredit him, he'd probably make a bit more noise. Further to that, if you really did solve the world's energy problems, don't you think that you'd probably want to make as big of a stink as you could to draw enough attention to it? That's one of those things where you don't mind, you know, dying for if you can solve the world's energy problems. Anyway, straight on to the news. There's a neurotoxin follow-up, thanks to MCT, and that worked out really, really well. For those of you who were playing along with the home game, the neurotoxin follow-up is... The original neurotoxin article was because there was a shampoo scare, essentially. What happens is that there was these shampoos that were using neurotoxins in the actual shampoo. So you rub this, you know, shampoo on your scalp, and the neurotoxins sleep into your head, and before you know it, you know, you're watching Friends. So, not so good. MCT did some research on this and sent me a link to a complete list of all the household products that contain this neurotoxin. I found that it's not just the four that I mentioned. There's a big Jimmy Whack of them, like Hem and Shoulders was one of them, and I think Pantene was another one. I reported on this, and I guess other people managed to chase it down. So thanks so much to MCT. Make sure you go to my live journal, click on that. so you can get these products out of your house so they stop giving you brain damage. Now, the brain damage they cause, just so you know, if you do a little check on it, these caused neuron damage in rats. They rubbed these on rats, and I guess the rats were squeaky clean. It's a whole new kind of brainwashing, don't you know? And there's the magical term, brainwashing. I didn't know this, but it seems that they were teaching Scientology in schools. Nobody tells me this. State Superintendent Jack O'Connell urged all California schools on Tuesday to drop Narconon. For those of you who don't know, Narconon is one of Scientology's more insidiously evil things that encourages parents to get their kids off drugs and all this kind of stuff. And that's not the evil part. Of course, that's not entirely a bad thing. I'm just saying that they're evil because they're Scientology and converting like missionary Scientologists, but through the use of drug use. So they take people who are on drugs and say, you're on drugs because your life is shit. So what we're going to do is we're going to program you with all the Scientology stuff very subtly in the background while giving you, you know, very padded out and often inaccurate information about your drug addiction. So I guess because, you know, the schools are asleep at the switch, they... you know, didn't do any homework on who's coming in to give materials to their school kids or whatever. And the Narconon anti-drug program has been going on in California schools for quite some time. And this one superintendent found out about it and started blowing the whistle. And he's encouraging them to drop the Narconon anti-drug education program after a new evaluation concluded that his curriculum offers inaccurate and unscientific, but you can bet it's Scientolic, information. We'll get a letter out to every school district today saying this program is filled with inaccuracies and does not reflect widespread medical and factual evidence, O'Connell said of Narconon Drug Prevention and Education, a free program with ties to what? The Church of Scientology. O'Connell requested the independent evaluation in July after the Chronicle reported in June that Narconon introduced students to some beliefs and methods of Scientology without their knowledge. So they're like, you know, trying to, you know, slip it in there under the radar. Oh, hey, if you like this, then you're going to be right in with this crazy sci-fi motherfucker who created a cult. The stories reported that Narconon's instruction rests in part on church beliefs that drug residue remain indefinitely in body fat, causing people to experience repeated drug flashbacks and cravings. Some teachers also reported that Narconon instructors taught the students that drug residues can be sweated out in saunas, and a colored ooze is produced when drugs exit the body. Scientology correspondence obtained by the Chronicle said Narconon's instruction is delivered in language purged of most church parlance, but includes all Scientology and Dianetic Handbook basics. Narconon classroom instruction made presentations at least 39 California school districts since 2000, including San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Sacramento. Some of the inaccuracies cited by these idiots are drugs, of course, burn up all your vitamins and nutrients. That's all drugs do this. All drugs activated vitamin dependency rather results in pain. Drug activated vitamin deficiency results in pain. Sorry, that's that's what they say. Drug activated vitamin deficiency results in pain. Well, yeah, I can't even really make it, but that's what they say. Drug-activated vitamin deficiency results in pain, which is so incredibly nuts. I don't even think you could get high school kids to believe that. Marijuana-induced rapid vitamin and nutrient loss causes food cravings, known as the munchies. Oh, so that's why marijuana makes you hungry. It's because you've got these food cravings due to the massive vitamin and nutrient loss. Well, that would then mean that everyone who's smoking marijuana should be really, really skinny, but they're not. So, you know, the reason why marijuana makes you hungry, by the way, is because it stimulates that area of your brain that I've been told this. I don't know if it's true. Yeah, I'm probably going to get taken to task on this one. But apparently the reason why that happens is because it activates the area of your brain that is triggered when breastfeeding. So, like, when we were all babies and we used to, you know, used to be really, really into tits and not for sexual reasons, it was because it stimulates that area and you wind up getting, you know, all into, you know, getting some food. So that's what the munchies is all about. And another one that Darkanon teaches is small amounts of drugs stored in fat are released at a later time, causing flashbacks and a desire to use again. Well, that's bullshit, but, you know, that's fine. Now, on for the craziest story easily I've seen. Oh, we'll probably see all week. Well, here's hoping it is. A George Rogers Clark high school junior was arrested Tuesday for making terrorist threats. He told Lex 18 News Thursday that writings had got him arrested and being taken out of context. Okay, well, what writings were these? Winchester police said Williams Poole, who's 18 years old, was taken into custody Tuesday morning. Investigators say they discovered materials at Poole's home that outlined possible acts of violence aimed at students, teachers, and police. Poole told Lex 18, the whole incident is a big misunderstanding. He claims what his grandparents found in his journal and turned into police, thank you grandparents, was a short story he wrote for English class. My story is based on fiction, said Poole, who faces a second-degree felony terrorist threatening charge. What the hell? It's a fake story. I made it up. I've been working on it in one of my short stories, and the short story they found was about zombies. Zombies? Yes, I did say a high school, but it was about a high school overrun by zombies. Okay. Now, I have done role-playing games. I mean, if this kid's writing a story about zombies taking over a high school and he's nailed on terrorist charges, I ask you, any book role-playing game is now, like, way more terrorist intent than this high school zombie thing. I mean, what if they just say that all role players are just, you know, are terrorists? Well, you know, we may as well all be zombies anyway, but I mean, they're saying that he writes a short story about zombies and he's being held for threatening terrorism? Holy shit. Even so, police say the nature of the story makes it a felony. What? The nature of the story makes it a felony. Anytime you make any threat or possess matter involved with a school or function, it's a felony in the state of Kentucky, said Winchester Police Detective Stephen Caudill, fuckhead, whatever. Poole disputes that he was threatening anyone. Well, no shit. Obviously, this guy's not threatening anybody. He wrote a story about zombies. There's movies about zombies. There's a new movie coming out about zombies. Land of the Dead. Very much looking forward to it. Sam Raimi's doing it. But still, you know, I'm like, I cannot believe that they're freaking out about this kid and a story about zombies. I mean, does anybody else... Like, did everyone's IQ in Kentucky just fall through the floor? Or what? Now, does everyone remember that young Norwegian kid who cracked DVD codes? Remember that one? And he came to America, he showed up for a convention, and they arrested him the minute he hit the soil? Well, I thought we'd never hear from that kid again, because obviously he got arrested when he hit the soil. And I was thinking that, you know, that'd be it for him. But apparently not. That same kid is in the news again. Go, boy, go. A young Norwegian who became a global hacker hero by writing and distributing a program to crack DVD security codes, appears to have struck again, this time against Apple Computer's iTunes online music services. John Lick Johansson, same guy, 19, faces a new trial that starts Tuesday after prosecutors appealed his January acquittal on charges he violated Norway's data break-in laws with his DECSS program for DVDs last Friday. A new security crackdown program called the Q2 Fair Use was posted, along with the message, "So sue me," on a website which Johansson listed as a registrant or owner. The new program circumvents iTunes' anti-copywriting program, MPEG 4 Advanced Audio Coding, by legally opening and playing protected music files in QuickTime, but then essentially draining the unprotected music data into a new and parallel file. There are other programs that can circumvent copy protection schemes by capturing analog audio, although typically causes a loss of quality, well, including a microphone, but that's okay. The program on Johansson's site appears to capture unprotected digital data, but could be used to make perfect copies of an unlocked tune. The program is also published as an open-source software. Others can use it and improve upon it, provided they make their work freely available to others. Now, of course, this isn't the only kid doing this, okay? There's lots of people out there writing code. They just don't, you know, make themselves such a big target as this Norwegian kid is doing. I guess he's pretty pissed off with all the shit he's been gotten in the last little while. I don't know if him doing this was such a bright idea. I mean, I guess it might be stupid. It might take balls. But, wow, dude, you know, I guess thank you for giving us this gift of free information. But still, you know, you might want to start being a little bit more careful with what's going on with you. Now, on to the bad idea of the day. Now, as everyone knows, I've been going off about RFID and identification and stuff like that, but what could possibly be worse than RFID and identification? Ask yourself that question. Now, what would be worse, you think? Well, let's. How about crossing RFID and Visa? Visa is hoping to simplify the process of paying with plastic with a new payment technology gets introduced on Thursday. With a new technology introduced on Thursday. With the company's new contactless system, consumers need only wave a debit card within a few inches of a reader to complete a purchase. Now, is anyone else seeing a million different ways for me to make some sort of a satchel or a purse that's a scanner, carry it through the subway, and get everyone's credit card numbers, or is it just me? And for purchases of less than $25, no signature is required. Oh, that's good. So wave it at the card. If it's less than $25, no signature, so you can now get free T-shirts for the rest of your life. The technology will be more convenient for merchants and consumers alike by reducing checkout times and lines. Do you really think it takes that long? Visa executives said. It is also designed to be an easy alternative to cash for small purchases such as sodas or packs of gum. Isn't that what change is for? Our hope is that the contactless payment feature will drive added convenience and speed of consumers, said Nikki Manby, Vice President of Market and Technology Innovation at Visa USA. You no longer need to swipe or hand over your card. I'm surprised they didn't say it. It's safer, too, because now no one has to, you don't even have to take your card out, or, you know, no one else has to touch your card. You know, they could take that angle, even though this is quite clearly the worst idea I've ever heard. But don't go waving your credit and debit cards around just yet. Visa must first convince merchants and card issuers to use new equipment. For the merchants, that means purchasing new card readers. For banks, it means introducing special cards capable of transmitting account data via radio signal other than magnetic strip. So far, no card issuers are offering them, Manby said. With 5.6 million merchants in the United States, Visa will need some time to phase out its old system. It's not something retailers will likely do overnight, said Penny Giuseppe, a Forrester research analyst. Well, yeah, putting RFID on your credit cards so that it can just, you know, be broadcasting your credit card number, I'm not even super elite or nothing, but it seems to me that that is just the worst idea I've heard all week. Like, this is a massive, massive security flaw. Even if you encrypt it, I mean, that can be captured and you can crack it. We were already, there's how-tos on how to crack RFID encryption. So, you know, maybe I shouldn't be bummed about this. Maybe it'll just be like, you know, there'll be so much credit card fraud that eventually the whole credit card scheme will fall apart, and that might be a good thing. You never know. I don't know. I mean, what do you make of this? What do you think? Give me an email. Tell me what you think. Now, I don't know if any of you remember this, but there was a movie that came out, I think it's the 70s. I'm going to guess late 70s, early 80s, called Videodrome. And the whole purpose of Videodrome was like this really twisted mental derangement and pseudo-sexual stuff going on. Very kind of techno-Hellraiser kind of shit going on there. Now, it's a lot more MKUltra than Hellraiser. There's no supernatural stuff involved. But it's very, very bizarre. And one of their things was that they put anything they want on television just, you know, for ratings. Well, it seems that the video torture television of the past is now the reality of today. There are people held in cages and verbally abused. They were subject to sleep debt and forced to remove their clothing, exposed to extreme temperatures. The alleged torture techniques are used on suspected terrorists at the U.S. detention facility in Cuba may rile human rights groups, but British television channel is betting the controversial methods could also provide perfect fodder for an ultimate reality TV show. It's a part of a so-called torture season on Channel 4. The same channel that bought the reality TV hit Big Brother to the world plans to broadcast the Guantanamo Guidebook on Monday. The four-part series will recreate torture techniques apparently used by U.S. interrogators at Guantanamo Bay. The series will also examine whether the knowledge gained from actual terrorist suspects was worth the kind of relentless abuse that some claim was heaped upon them. Now, first of all, I don't think that the people at Guantanamo Bay were really tortured. The guy with electrodes on his nuts? Yeah, that's torture. Being stripped naked and made cold and shit like that, I mean, that's where we're scratching the surface of torture there. But anyway, obviously, we had to work within certain parameters of the law. We can only subject them to the milder forms of torture, said Yad Luthra, a spokesman for Channel 4, which is seeking to sell the program in other countries. Of the seven volunteer participants, including three Muslims and four white Britons, three failed to stay for the 48-hour course. One dropped out after 8 hours upon showing signs of low body temperature. Another dropped out on religious grounds. A third simply had enough after 40 hours. Two of them vomited, and two of them wet their pants, said Luthra. The torturers were quite tough on them. Well, now, I'm not doing this to promo this stupid fucking show they're putting out. I'm promoing this to tell you that, obviously, we have some serious social problems here if we find stripping people naked in cages and screaming at them to be entertainment. Now, I don't really think of myself as being the voice of morality here. I mean, anyone would tell you that, I swear too much, blah, 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 obviously. Yet, I wouldn't see anyone in our community, meaning the Rant Online community, the WOG community, no one would want to do this. Maybe there might be some training value in it, but I don't think you'd want to, put it on camera and stuff like that. I mean, I don't know, man. It bums me out when I see stuff like that happening, and especially in England, where, it's a Big Brother state anyway. And it's not like India was all that free in the first place, but I guess they passed a law now in India that says the government in India's western state of Rajasthan says to introduce a new law banning religious conversion. So if you're a member of one religion, you can't convert to another one. It follows tension between the Hindus and Christian missions holding its annual convention in Kota, 250 kilometers, 150 miles, from the state capital of Jaipur. The state home minister warned of foreign delegates that their tourist visas did not allow them to attend such a function. The mission chief, M.A. Thomas, says Hindu activists had humiliated and beaten up some of the delegates. Well, yeah, we're being persecuted. Hindu activists from groups such as the Bajrang Dal and the World Hindu Council on Vishwa Hindu Parishad says the Kota Convention, which began on Wednesday, is being used for conversion to Christianity. Well, that's their right. I mean, freedom of religion, I suppose. I mean, I personally don't think that it's that viable of an option, but, if people get off on it, whatever. The activists have set up checkpoints on roads leading to missions, stopping delegates who are coming from all over India and abroad. The state government, run by Hindu nationalist Bhatai Jani Party, said there were more than 60 foreigners at the Kota mission, mainly from the U.S., who had come on tourist visas and had no right to participate in such functions. On Wednesday, police used force to disperse Hindu activists who were trying to enter a mission premises. Six people, including three policemen, were injured in the incident. State Home Minister Gulab Chand Khatira said the Christian mission had not devolved its program to the administration. We will not allow anyone to convert poor and illiterate people. Well, I don't know here. How are you supposed to play that? If the Christians are willing to teach them, that's kind of a bullshit way to give people education. We're going to wrap it up in a lot of dogma and then feed it to you and make you read so that you can accept our dogma. I don't really buy that. But, I mean, do you keep these people, ignorant so they can't learn? I mean, go ahead, make laws that keep your people ignorant. I guess that's what they do over there. Now, that's not a slam on the Hindu faith, by the way. I got no problem with Hindus, okay? If you want to, pray to Ganesh or a billion other gods, or they got like 200 gods or something like that in their pantheon, that's your thing. I mean, it makes just as much sense to me to pray to 200 gods as it does to pray to one. What doesn't make sense is for people to get violent over bullshit thought patterns. I mean, I may as well... You never see cyberpunks running around beating people up because they don't want you to get into cryonics, but I have been in church and seen people speak out against cryogenics and other medical procedures because they think it goes against the word of God. Yes, I actually was in a church where they did that, and I actually, at the end of the service, I got up and had a word with the minister, and I guess I'm not allowed back at that church. On to some massive identity theft. See if you've heard about this one in the news. Computer tapes containing credit card records of U.S. senators and more than how many? A million U.S. government employees are missing, Bank of America said on Friday, putting the customers at increased risk of identity theft. The security breach, which included data on a third of the Pentagon's staff, angered lawmakers already concerned after criminals gained access to thousands of consumer profiles and database maintained by data profiling companies ChoicePoint Incorporated. I reported on that, and now there's another. Bank of America did not release details on how the tapes were lost, but Senator Charles Schumer, a New York Democrat, said he had been informed by the Senate Rules Committee that the data tapes were likely stolen off of commercial plane by baggage handlers. Whether it is identity theft, terrorism, or other theft, well, Jesus Christ, guys, it's theft. Why, if you got to put fucking terrorism on everything, in the new complicated world, baggage, in this new and complicated world, it's not new and complicated, no matter how hard you try to tell me that, baggage handlers should have background checks, and more care should be taken for those who are hired in these increasingly sensitive positions. like taxi drivers. Social and security numbers, addresses, and account numbers were on the tapes of 1.2 million account holders, of which 900,000 belonged to the Defense Department employees. And Defense Department spokesman Brian Whitman said, the tapes contain information from accounts of dozens of U.S. senators and from employees of federal agencies. Officials monitoring the situation said, the Bank of America said the small number of computer data tapes were lost in December while being shipped back. The small number of computer data tapes carrying over a million people were lost while being shipped back to the data backup center. Well, why don't you just, like, you know, do a data transfer over a period of time, I guess? Is there too much information? It said there was no evidence of crime resulting from the loss, but the U.S. Secret Service was investigating the case. Well, yeah, there's just a few million people or a few million uses for something like that. Even if you have one use for each one, that's still over a million. I mean, well, there it is. You know, you can get the information there. They want to call it terrorism. I call it theft. And speaking of theft, Microsoft has got a new activation policy. Microsoft is continuing its crackdown on Windows pirates. It's modifying its product activation policies to do so. Product activation, which Microsoft first introduced with Windows XP in 2001, is Microsoft's way of requiring new users to authenticate their copies of Windows. Microsoft has required users not covered by volume license agreements to register XP copies via the internet or phone using their unique product keys. As of next week, however, Microsoft plans to curtail the number of users relying on the web to activate their copies of XP. As of February 28th, Microsoft will disable internet activation for all Windows XP product keys located on the certificates of authenticity labels that are distributed by the 20 top worldwide PC vendors. Microsoft will be relying on these PC makers to do the activation for the user. So that means that if you want to reformat your drive and reinstall, no good, because you can't do that now. Microsoft sent a distribution alert to let its field sales force know of this change a couple of weeks ago. Tech blogger Adrian Mordo posted a copy to this alert on his website on Tuesday. On Wednesday, Microsoft officials acknowledged the authenticity of the alert. Via the new XP product activation policy, Microsoft is hoping to eliminate piracy that occurs when product keys are stolen from COOAs that traditionally have been placed on PCs by OEMs. Now, I don't want my code placed on the box. I don't know why they put the sticker on the box in case you change a case to your PC. The PC, you can upgrade. If you upgrade your case or do a case mod, you lose your sticker. It's bullshit. Now, if you type your key, an authentication mechanism, on the web, it will activate and not tell you anything is wrong, even if the key is stolen, said Alex Kochi, senior license compliance manager with Microsoft Small Office Mind Market Solutions and Partner Group, and author of the distribution alert. This is our opportunity to tell customers that product keys may not have been obtained properly. So you're saying that shit still activates, or what? I mean, I'd like to know, you know, really, does Microsoft think this is going to help them, or is it going to drive more and more people to Linux? Yes, you will be able to stop some piracy, but you're losing more and more people who are just saying, fuck this, I'm going open source. And yeah, maybe I'll be one of them. Now, talk about a descent into madness. Some funding for Russia's mock Mars mission experiment, Mars 500, is set to begin in March 2005, the Federal Space Agency said in a press release. Now, check this out. Space researchers and participants in the experiment will simulate a 500-day manned mission to Mars in a mock space station assembled on Earth. The press release quotes Roscosmos, that's like a Dalek sound, Roscosmos Chief Anatoly Permov is saying. Six men, possibly from different countries, will see how humans will react to conditions imitating a long flight to Mars. So they're going to lock these guys in a can for 500 days. Talk about a descent into madness. Could you imagine being locked in close quarters with like six other guys for 500 days, almost 2 years? The volunteers will enter a special module next year and will remain there for 500 days, going through all the hardships of a long flight to the Red Planet. Many researchers argue that long stay in outer space may negatively affect humans, causing muscle, bone, immunity, and psychological disorders. The experiment will help find answers to all of these questions, the press release says. So one of them goes nuts, chops up a bunch of people, you know, this bloody craft crashes on Mars. I mean, I can just have fun with that for days. And our friends at the CIA want the same sort of rights that the extra legal activities of Donnie's little secret crew has. It seems that there's a widening unease within the Central Intelligence Agency over a possibility that career officers could be prosecuted or otherwise punished for their conduct during interrogations and detentions of terrorism suspects, according to current and former government officials. Until now, only CIA employees, a contract worker from North Carolina, has been charged with a crime in connection to treatment of prisoners stemming from the death in Afghanistan in 2003. But the officials confirmed that the agency had asked the Justice Department to review at least one other case from Iraq to determine if the CIA officer and interpreter should face prosecution. In addition, the current and former government officials said the agency's inspector general was now reviewing at least half a dozen other cases, and perhaps many more, in what is described as an expanding circle of inquiries to determine whether CIA employees had been involved in any misconduct. Previously, intelligence officials have acknowledged that only several cases were under review by the agency's inspector general, but now one government official said there's a lot more out there than has generally been recognized, and people at the agency are worried. Of particular concern, the official said, is the possibility that CIA officers using interrogation techniques that the government ruled as permissible after September 11th terrorist attacks might now be punished or even prosecuted for their actions in the line of duty. So, it seems that somebody wants to prosecute members of the CIA for torturing people, and the members of the CIA don't like that. Well, that's too bad for you. I guess there is still hope for the freedom-loving, you know, gentle people of the world. And here's a little news story that I would normally just kind of skip over, but this is something that I think we should be careful of. The mannequins are watching. Using motion capture technology, a mannequin robot named Pallet strikes a supermodel pose at a February 20th Tokyo press event. The robot, designed by Tatsuya Matsui of Flower Robotics, can strike glamorous poses aimed at making clothes more appealing to consumers. Now, check this out. The robot, which looks just like, you know, essentially like a seamstress mannequin dummy, can also identify bags shoppers are carrying and pass the information along to stores for marketing purposes. Great. The Pallet is expected to go on sale this year for the fashion and service industry. So, the mannequins on the stores are going to start watching you as you go by. How creepy is that? Today's Daily Hack is a one of Primitive Waves. This was given to me by No Delete. Very cool site. This is one of those sites that when you wash up naked on the shore, you could build up your survival basics from nothing. And I mean nothing. Very, very cool. Make sure you check that out. That's all I've got for you today. Don't worry, I'm going to be back tomorrow to give you a full show. Hopefully my throat will be better than what it is now. I've been stopping after every story and trying to get some tea inside me. Sorry about that, guys. But don't worry, I will be back tomorrow. And this show was brought to you by the generous donations of people who I hope aren't too mad at me. That would be Jesse, Anonymous Jesse, Grey Ghost, Robert, Four Elite, Michael, Matthew, Matt, Kevin, Derek, Jesse, Desert Runner, Eric Speaker, Jeff, Malcolm, Peter, Keith, Timor, WebLife, Richard, Greg, Evan, Matt, Drake, Levi, Ashton, David, Brian, Austin, Tara, Host Mojo, Jonathan, Adam, Mystique, Mark, Jonathan, Trevor, Brandon, Art, Darmude, Peter, Jesse, Brandon, Justin, Matthew, Dylan, Lars, Daniel, Mookie, and Philip. Now, if you'd like to help keep this daily news broadcast on the air, please visit rantmedia.ca and click on the donate tab. And, you know, that will, in fact, keep this show on the air. It will help us out immensely and gives me a reason to get up in the morning. Special thanks to some hard net runners as part of my flying army of monkeys. I hope we got Mythos, MCT, Visage, Psychofish, Rainstreak, Slycat, Wandy, Ricky Rocket, Bonsai Poppy, No Delete, Druid YC Maru, DS Otaku, Astrovix, K-Tog, and the Sacred Jesus Doll. Pardon me, and the Stuffed Jesus Doll with a car dealership. So thank you so much to all you guys. Digital baptisms today. Dave is now known as Thunder Spud. Very, very cool. He sent me a really cool picture of his motorbike, too. And that's all that I have for you right now. But thanks to all those people for giving me the information. And I'm just a mess today. I'm sorry, guys. But if you have access to sensitive information or any other pertinent stories, please email them to Newsreel. That's N-E-W-S-R-E-A-L at rantradio.com. And if you like the music in the background, make sure you pick up a band called Scorn. Now, it's kind of minimalist, a little bit ambient. I got a link to it on my live journal, but all their stuff is kind of like this. So check out Scorn. Very, very cool. So until tomorrow, that's what Server said. End of line.
Former KDNK station manager Mary Suma began by asking Thompson, saying the idea of war is not just wrong, but borders on insanity. A comment of Hunter Thompson's, he responded.
Of course, it depends on which vantage point you look at the war from. If you're the president of the huge oil company, no, it's not insane at all. It's the war would be quite justified.
How do you feel? I mean, I've read that you were in the streets in the Chicago riots back at that convention. Do you think that we can elicit that sort of passion as it builds? I mean, it really seems to be building out there, the anti-war faction.
Yeah, it does, but look at this. I don't recall, anyway, a massive depression, right. Economic collapse, as in 1968. I was going to say to you, but well, what we have now is a collapse of the economy and a totally unjustifiable war, irrational, really, except from the point of view of the oil industry.
Did you watch the State of the Union the other evening?
Oh, boy, I did.
What'd you think?
I was horrified. Yeah, it was a nightmare of a thing to go through. You know, you rattle off all this, all these pie-in-the-sky ideas in the beginning, none of which are going to either work or be funded. He knows that. Matter of fact, the New York Times today said that already they see that the that his even Republicans are admitting that the Medicare, yeah, his talk about the Medicare plan, the $400 billion plan,
right,
is impossible. Members of both parties expressed doubts about its feasibility today, forcing administration officials to reconsider important elements of the package. God damn. So none of the domestic issues he talked about are feasible. I don't even think he can get the tax cut through, which is insane. Cut taxes in a time when the country is going broke. So over the line, I mean, it's not just the war that's wrong. I can't imagine any justification for just going over to Iraq and bombing the place back to the Stone Age. Like we did before.
Why does it seem a good portion of the country is buying into this?
That is a really, that's a disturbing aspect of it.
Can we believe the polls? I mean, certainly the applause the other evening, they always say that you can sort of gauge the popularity of a president by the applause at the State of the Union. I don't know if that's true or not, but it seems like we're living in two separate countries.
Well, remember that Bush's popularity and the popularity of the support for the war 2 months ago was much higher. But that's these are just daily. These are things that change every day. But I remember writing it might have been at least 5 years ago. It was ABC... serious poll, several of them, came up with the findings that the American people overall favor giving up some of their freedoms in exchange for more security.
Mm-hmm.
They would rather be secure than free, in other words.
Right.
That really is shocking.
It is shocking. And more so today, maybe.
That's what... That's the answer, I think, for your question is why is the public buying into it? Well, another reason is that the fear, that's what I tried to address or at least rave about in the book. Fear is an unhealthy condition, yeah, living in fear. And as we clearly have been for 2 years now, it makes the population more obedient, particularly if they're willing to give up their freedom for security, more obedient, more easier to control, and it's Well, it's very much like Nazi Germany.
Mm-hmm.
The old good German syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
We used to hate and talk about, and we used to, you know, ridicule it, the good Germans, who just went along with it because that's what the Führer wanted.
You've said the president has destroyed the country, the economy, and the relationship, and our relationship with the rest of the world.
Well, I believe that's true. And even the countries that allegedly go along or support us, our allies going into for this war, popular opinion in most of those countries, I can't say this for sure, but in England, certainly, the English people as a whole are strongly opposed to the war and to, you know, going along with whatever George Bush says. Now, democracy is on its last legs in this country, and freedom, you know, the free world,
mm-hmm.
we're defending freedom, we'll fight to the death for freedom, that's absurd. This country is no more a capital or bastion of freedom now than Nazi Germany was in the 1940. This country is a rogue nation in a way, but worse than a rogue nation. We're a war-crazy, war-dependent, really, nation. And this that leads right to the oil industry. It's ridiculous, and particularly in the media, with the media, notice to not discuss the oil, the connection between oil and bombs in Iraq is disgraceful. Well, Winston Churchill said, in times of war, the first casualty is always the truth. Truth is the first casualty of any war.
In lieu of fear.
Well, you see, I'm a little bit cranked up and fanatical about it.
That's the age group, isn't it, Hunter, that we want to really...
I mean, if you want to live in a Nazi nation, boy, I wouldn't want to be 20 years old now.
I wouldn't either.
I fear for what's coming and for the welcoming committee that's going to... kids that's going to meet it, saying, come on in. No, it's just ignorance and, the media. We're being deprived of the real news. Now, I'm not going to try to say I have the real news, but, just what you said. That's exactly right.
Again, you're going to be at Pepke Park on Saturday afternoon. Do you know what your topic is yet? We know the topic, but do you know what... Can you give us any preview of what's going to be said, or do you just stand up there and let it...
Yeah, I usually just take just wing it. You know, free fall, but just like I did today, I had no idea what I was going to say today. Yeah, this is really a disgraceful moment in history, and just thinking about the war and attending peace rallies. You're going out in the street, you know, voting with your feet, as they say.
Hunter S. Thompson speaking with KDNK's Mary Suma in January of 2003. She then asked him about his book, Kingdom of Fear, Loathsome Secrets of a Star-Crossed Child in the Final Days of the American Century.
It started off, it was supposed to be a memoir. I think it started off as memoirs. You know, it's just sort of how to, a very, very quick and active story about how I got to be... what I am today, you know, different key adventures in my life. But mainly it's fun. Yeah, I could use a little more editing, but everything could. So it's just a fun read, and it's a very pretty savage one. And it is clearly not anti-Bush, but anti-war. Yeah, I don't hate Bush personally. I used to know him. I used to do some, you know, drugs here and there with him.
Is that true, Hunter? What about? I didn't know that you were an unofficial advisor to Jimmy Carter.
Well, yeah, weird things happen here and there. And I got to know him early, 2 years before he ran, and he just looked like a pretty good bet to me as a gambler. And I wanted to win. It was important to win at that time.
Evan Dobell, who was among other things Carter's Secretary of Protocol, he held a dinner in Hawaii about 2 months ago, and Hunter was a guest of honor, and he stood up to say and thank Hunter because Jimmy Carter would not be president if it wasn't for Hunter Thompson.
Really?
Yeah. Isn't that cool?
What I'm going to New York to do is stir up trouble. I mean, this mm-hmm. is, I'm not going to change hats.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, Saturday in the park, Sunday in New York City, I went on the night. Conan O'Brien or something like that.
Uh-huh.
No, I'm I'm just believing this. I think I'm offended and insulted by the sloth of the American people, and that means us. And that means these bastards who just sit around. What?
We're getting there.
Yeah. Well, let's keep hitting on this, because I doubt that George Bush is going to go away anytime before for 2 years, in the next 2 years anyway. But he should be run out of office. He should resign right now, in my opinion. I could call for his resignation, but I don't think you'd have a groundswell immediately for that. There'll be a lot of people who agree with me.
Down the road?
Well, no, in a year.
Right.
I mean,
will we be at war in a year, Hunter?
Well, I think so, without a doubt. But like I said, we've been at war for 13 years. We've been bombing that country that long, and we cut off everything, all their food, books. Yeah, they closed, you know, cut off all imports of books over there.
Have you ever been there?
Excuse me?
Have you ever been over there?
I don't think so. Not in any way that I was impressed by. I've probably gone through it or stopped there. No, I don't really know where I'm. Mm-hmm. I made a point of getting to know it a lot better. And it was a very advanced, progressive country. They had like 90% literacy, health care for the whole entire population. No, they were doing well. You know, prosperous, high literacy, many more bookstores per capita in Iraq than there are in this country. Many.
Really?
No more. We bombed their children. We killed, you know, their husbands and wives, and we bombed them, and we saw her, and we're going to do it again. Now, just random killing like that, mass killing to force a population to get rid of Saddam so we can move in and take over and control the oil. God damn it, that's not evil. I don't know what would be. You know, Bush, he's really the evil one in here, and they're more than just him. But we're the Nazis in this game, and I don't like it. I'm embarrassed, and I'm pissed off. Yeah, and
well,
I mean to say something, and I think a lot of people in this country believe, you know, agree with me. A lot more than saying anything. Well, we'll see what happens to me if if I get my head cut off next week. By it's always what unknown or bushy-haired strangers who commit suicide right afterward. No witnesses. That's a new kind of crime, indeed.
Was that the CIA kind of crime?
Oh, absolutely. Well, that'd be anybody's successful criminal's kind of crime.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. No witnesses, no records. We can go on and on. I have to be restrained on this subject.
thou.